Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible we have before us, its record of your speaking to us in a special manner. That though you speak to us through creation and you witness to us through conscience, it is particularly your written word, the inspired, infallible word of God that we bring before us to read it and to understand by your Holy Spirit's blessing what you have to say to us. So bless us as hearers and to one, your servant who comes to read and to proclaim this truth. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have a Bible with you, you can open with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. This is the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. It's the culmination of the life and work of Jesus of Nazareth. This is the resurrection chapter, the record of an event that turned the world upside down. A couple early creeds of the Christian faith were Jesus is Lord and he is risen. There's a sense in which this entire impact of Christianity stands or falls with the truth of this message in Luke 24 here. We'll read just verses 1 through 12 this morning. This is God's word. Give your full attention to it. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Thus far the reading of God's word. The tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. The most significant, perhaps the most significant fact in all of human history, the tomb was empty. These four words can be four of the most marvelous words in recorded history. The tomb was empty. Perhaps if we needed to mark, just as I had done talking about early creeds and confessions of the faith that people would make to distinguish themselves from others who didn't believe in Jesus, the Messiah, that man from Galilee who was born in Bethlehem, fulfilling all of those prophecies for hundreds of years, even before he was alive. They would say, Jesus is Lord. In contrast to the fact that the Roman Emperor Caesar was Lord, they would say, Jesus is Lord. They would say, he is risen. As we greeted one another this morning, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Or, famously, perhaps the most important three words uttered in all of human history, it is finished. The work of God for your salvation in three words, it is finished. And to add four more, for the glory of your resurrection life, if you believe in Jesus Christ, the tomb was empty. Saints, if the tomb wasn't empty, your faith is vain, and you're still in your sins. That's what the reasoning was from the confession of faith this morning. That's why Paul challenged the Corinthians to focus on the resurrection and the necessity of the fact that the tomb was empty. Because if it was full of a body, they were still dead in their sins. But the tomb was empty. And Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And his faithful followers still follow him as they did that first day. Let's read again the first portion of the passage as we think of the faithful followers in the first part of your outline. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away. Before we even talk about the stone, let's just leave it there. Do you know what these religious ladies had to do? Do you know what these faithful followers had to do? They had to obey the Sabbath. They didn't budge from Friday at 6 p.m. until Saturday at 6 p.m. And then somewhere at Saturday, 6 p.m., they had to go out and start finding aloes and anointing oils and spices because they loved Jesus. And they didn't want his body to be decaying and smelling as it would, right? This is what they're doing there early in the morning. These are faithful followers who loved their Savior. And these faithful followers noted something strange. The story of the stone. They found that the stone was rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. Mark, Luke, and John make no mention of the guard. So it appears that they fled when they awoke to find the empty tomb. The women must have arrived shortly after. But the Gospel of Mark reports that on the way to the tomb, the women had been worried about the stone. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance to the tomb?" Because in Matthew's account, Mary was over there and she saw where that tomb of Joseph of Arimathea was. And she knew that stone had been pushed in front. She knew it was hundreds, if not thousands of pounds. Who's going to move the stone? They needed not worry. Because Mark and Luke both report that they suddenly noticed that the stone had already been removed. John chapter 20. And John relates the reaction of Mary Magdalene when she saw that the stone had been taken away. And Matthew tells us how this had been accomplished. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake. So now, we're getting all the reports of all the Gospels. That's the point. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it says, Matthew tells us, that there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, stepped forward, rolled away the stone. And what? Was sitting on it. Matthew's account tells us that there was an angel just sitting there. What are you guys doing here this morning? Right? Talking to the ladies who've come to anoint their bodies. And all of a sudden, this sparkly guy, right, the insanely glorified, glowing, angelic host, right, from a place of beauty and splendor and majesty, sent to go sit on a stone and announce the good news of the risen Savior. Don't miss the angelic announcement, which comes now. But before we get there, this truth of the stone being moved and the empty tomb that they find and the announcement of the angels far outweighs any detail regarding the construction and appearance of the tomb and what was happening. And the women didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. The tomb was empty. An empty tomb could be explained in a number of ways, and a lot of people have tried to argue with this. And maybe in your mind you're like, yeah, I don't think those ladies really saw that. I'm not sure about that angel sitting there. Okay, but you still have the empty tomb. The disciples could have taken it away, right? That was a report that Matthew says was still happening many decades later. Maybe Jesus' enemies could have stolen it, right? Because they're going to say, we don't want people to believe in this guy. But the testimony of the empty tomb is backed up by this. The resurrection appearances. It wasn't just about an empty tomb. I've sort of led you down that primrose path so you'd think about that empty tomb. But what about the body of Jesus? Remember the appearances? Luke's next book, the book of Acts, starts with all the appearances. And how many did he show himself to? 500 people. And so in part two of Luke's writings in the book of Acts, it says 500 people saw him. What's the implied purpose of knowing there were 500 other people? They're alive and well. Go check with them. They are alive and well and can testify to their Savior who is alive and well. Christian, are you alive and well this morning? You're like a little sleepy, Jeff, but love Easter. I'm at church. Alive and well was their Savior. And those who were alive and well as well could testify to the fact that Jesus had risen. Does this matter to your heart and mind this morning? Does this fact matter? Because the resurrection reality is alive and well in you. Are you, and as you should be, a faithful follower who testifies to the empty tomb, saints, are you the ones who are alive and well now to testify to the empty tomb and the resurrection reality of the life of God at work in his people? That could be the end of the sermon, but it's not, because the angelic announcement that I've sort of alluded to already in that second part is profound, and we can't miss it. Because imagine what it's like for angels. Can you take a second to think? Tell me how much you know about angels. Dance on the head of a pin, blah, 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 right? Do angels have sin? You should answer right away. Some of them do. Those who fled with Satan. Angels are commissioned by God. Their name literally means messengers. And they are given a message and they go and do. Do you think it matters to them where they're sent, per se? They're like, oh man, I got to go to the stone. I got to go to Bangladesh. I have to go into the slums in Dubai. Angels are in this room right now, and you can't see them. Deal with it. It's what the Bible teaches. Present and rejoicing when you rejoice in the one true triune God. When you rejoice in Jesus Christ, the heavenly hosts rejoice. Angels announcing as they did at the birth. Do you remember the shepherds out in the fields? Who came to talk to them? They were given a message, go tell those shepherds, those humble, lowly shepherds out in the fields. The Christ has come. And as at his incarnation, so at his resurrection, an angel or angels are commissioned to go and move the stone and sit on it and wait till the ladies come and tell them to tell the others the glorious good news. Don't just read through this like you hear it every week. Come on. You cannot let that happen to your hearts and minds. Shake them and say, what? What? To take Jeff to go like, right? What? While they were wondering about this, just wondering, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them, and in their fright the women bowed down with their faces, as we all should in the presence of heavenly hosts. They bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living amongst the dead? You came looking for a dead man with your spices. But he is alive. He is risen indeed. Now go tell the others. This angelic announcement that Christ is no longer to be found in the tomb among the dead, but he is found among the living, for he is not here. He is risen. Like the incarnation, these angelic announcers come and they flash. And this shouldn't be strange to us because they've descended from the realm of beauty and splendor and glory. Shouldn't it all be surprising to us that this is a phenomenal sight sent from the God Almighty? Go, move that stone, and then announce the good news. Be the first announcers of this resurrection as you were at the incarnation. Christian, who are the announcers now? Who are the ones who are to testify to the truth that he is risen indeed, the tomb is empty, he's no longer here, he's gone to glory, he's the same? Who is it? I hope you're going, it's me, just like Ann Bauer's saying. Yes, it's me. We are the announcers now. We're the ones who proclaim this good news of the gospel of Christ crucified, dead, buried, but raised again. May that resurrection reality strike you. We are now the announcers as we share this gospel of grace and the glory of this resurrection. And not just this resurrection, saints, 2,000 years ago. Hey, you know, let me get you this historical book and let me argue with all the people who quibble about the stone. The resurrection reality alive and now. Power in you. As we'll finish. But first we have to remember and believe. So, I'm asking you this morning, do you remember and do you believe? Because there are some in this room right now who don't believe what I'm saying. There are some right here in this room, and may even hear when it goes out, that don't really believe. But notice in that first account how profound it is that the angelic announcement isn't just go and tell the news, it's first remember. Look at verse 6 with me. He is not here, he is risen. And listen to the next word. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, one. He must be crucified and then on the third day rise. They're telling what Jesus prophesied. That's all the angels are doing. They're telling what Jesus, the great prophet, had told them. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. They remembered, they believed, and they reported the good news. But note this about the remembering and believing. What a phenomenal thing is memory. Saints, all who can hear me right now, can you tell me everything you had for lunch this past week? Right now. You know, whatever. Breakfast, dinner, I don't care. Can you even remember what happened in the past 6 days? Why would you care to remember something 2,000 years ago? How glorious is our memory when it's about the story of salvation. How amazing is memory? I mean, have you ever been with anyone? Have you heard of the struggles of Alzheimer's? Those who completely forget who they're talking to, and it's their own family, and they've known their family for all their life, and they can't recognize it. You ever been with someone? Maybe you're thinking right now, like, maybe I'm struggling with that. I can't even, what? Or when people get older, they start to remember the glorious memories of when? Their childhood. This happened to both my parents. It's touching. And they remember all these sweet memories of where they played and who they played with. Can't tell you what they had for breakfast, but remember all those glorious stories. Saints, what glorious stories will you remember? Remember and believe and report the story. Announce it. Tell it. Don't forget it. Let it stay close to you. Hold this word. Read it regularly. Think about it. Meditate upon it. Ponder it. Contemplate it. Whatever. Just remember and believe what Jesus said. Profound. That's all the angel's message. Don't you remember what he just told us? That's a resurrection reality, to remember and believe and report the good news. And the reporting good news, we're doing this in Ephesians regularly now. How do we tell each other of words of encouragement and comfort and the promises of God? Saints, how often do you forget? You who love Jesus, believe him, want to follow him more intimately and closely. How often do you forget the promises of God for you, that you are in Christ, that you're united to Jesus Christ, that you have been raised up to newness of life in him, that all your sins have been forgiven, they've been cast as far as the east is from the west, that everything you've ever done wrong before God is forgiven. Do you think about that every day? Or do you find a way to just whip yourself thinking that false guilt somehow atones for sin? How long do you let others stew without granting them the forgiveness that you have been shown? Anyway, this is resurrection reality life. It sounds like pretty mundane. Really? I got to forgive others? Yeah. But it's a resurrection reality, and we need God's power to do it and to live it. And so as we come to closing, notice this, and it's so human and so sweet. It's such an interaction that's so honest and human, as you might feel this morning, pretty human. They remembered his words, verse 8. Look at verse 9 with me. Let's take it from 10. Notice the women again. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words, notice, but these words seemed to be an idle tale, and they didn't believe them. Are you a believer here this morning? Are you one who thinks, what is this guy? Why did I say yes to this family thing today, to go with my family to church, of all places? I don't blame you. I get it. But if you're not a believer here today, you're now accountable for what you're hearing right here this morning. Do you know these truths for yourself? Do you remember and believe? There are so many who come just at Christmas, just at Easter. Yeah, I know that story. Yeah, I remember those stories. But do you believe? Because right there in the first century, the ladies go and report. They just saw the angel, and they go to report. And the people who followed Jesus didn't even remember what he said about the third day rising. They didn't believe. And so what does verse 12 tell us? This sweet human announcement. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. He rose and ran, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling, marveling at what had happened. Christians, where was Peter just a few days before? Where was he? This is Sunday morning. He's running to this tomb to see if what the lady said was true. Where was he Thursday night? Was he in the inner courts with John, who let Peter in? John was right there when Jesus was being examined. Where was Peter, people? If you've never even read the Bible, you know this story. Where was he? Outside, warming his hands with the other Romans, denying Jesus three times in a row. Now he's up and he's running to the tomb and he's like, what? Marveling. Not believing, saints, but starting to believe, perhaps. Now, move forward a few into Luke part 2, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2. What's Peter doing? Preaching, testifying, announcing the good news, telling stories of the prophecies of the Old Testament that were fulfilled in Jesus. And what's he doing in Acts chapter 4 with John, the both of them who were in the Roman court? Getting beaten and jailed for what caused them to marvel. These guys had been changed in not a long time in between. Peter, who had been denying Jesus 3 days before, is now marveling at what had happened. And then he's announcing it. He becomes an even more faithful follower who begins to announce the good news of the resurrection. And so I finalize here with you, especially if you are here and you have been dragged by your family. I get it. I lived like this for the first 21 years of my life. I get it. You're like, whatever with this day. Not sure I'll do this again. You and me before God right now. I mean, he knows your heart and mine better than I do. But if it's like mine, then I'm just saying it out loud. And you're like, oh, totally. Guy knows me. You're here. And now you're accountable forever for this news. Jesus was the Christ who was crucified, died, buried, and rose again, and grants a newness of life for people. For those who are here and they don't believe, you can test this truth. You can challenge this resurrection reality. Do it. Give it a go. You against God and the truth of the Bible. You will marvel at what you find. Now, for you who already believe, even better news, glorious good news. And we've been teaching this in the Sunday mornings in the book of Ephesians. But I'm going to lay it down all the more right now because this is profound for us. Peter, prepared to check it out, ran to the tomb to see for himself, and he marveled. Root your faith in this resurrection reality. Christian, know this. A person has to be open to the evidence of the resurrection to believe. But if you are already persuaded, the truth comes to us in this profound way. Do you remember what Martha said to Jesus in John chapter 11? Where were you when my brother died? Where were you a few days ago? Lazarus wouldn't have died. And what does Jesus say to Martha? Your brother will rise. And she goes, no, Lord, you might have forgotten who I am. I'm Martha, sister to Mary. I'm a good religious Jewish Pharisee. I believe in the resurrection. And I know my brother will rise in the last day. And what does Jesus say to Martha? You missed the message. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life eternal. That resurrection life is not just some pie in the sky, great by and by. It's now, Christian, your life raised up with Jesus Christ. For you who've had maybe some extra page turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And for you who have been visiting, you will hear this glorious reality now connected to the resurrection of Jesus. Ephesians 1 tells us this marvelous truth as it's glorifying Jesus as we're trying to do this morning. But the resurrection reality is then applied to this church. And Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 19, reads as follows. Ephesians 1, 19, page 1242 in the Pew Bible if you need it before you. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. I am the resurrection and the life. And you're like, that's great for Jesus. What does Paul go on to say, Christian? Look up to chapter 2, verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5 of Ephesians. Let's take it from the glorious verse 4 of Ephesians 2. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And it's not even done there, saints. Hear it. Verse 6. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Saints, the greatest resurrection reality for you now is not 2,000 years ago in an empty tomb. It's the fact that Christ still raises the dead by the power of His Spirit. That resurrection life is alive in you who believe in Jesus. All your sins forgiven and life now in Him. May this cause your heart to rejoice this Easter morning. Let's pray. Lord, every one of us who believe in You have come to this knowledge by Your Spirit. We ask that Your Spirit would be at work, to work through Your Word, to seal to our hearts the truths of this resurrection reality. May this power root our faith not only in history, but in this spiritual reality of the life, the eternal.